Oh yeah.
Dr. Umar's fantasy football advice.
Oh my God.
I
As
can't.
I just listening to the last episode, yeah, you almost said Umar, and yeah, that's all I could think of is Dr. Umar Cooper Jr.
Dr. Umar Cooper Jr. What's funny is I know exactly what you're talking about because in the moment, I was like, nope, don't say Umar. Like I almost said, like I know exactly what you're talking about. It wasn't like I was when you sent me that, I wasn't like I was like, what do you mean? I almost said Dr. Umar or I almost said Umar Cooper. I knew exactly what you were talking about because in the moment I was like, fuck, don't say Umar.
Oh, that's good
Talk,
stuff.
do not draft these five white devils.
That's so good.
I love Dr.
We're doing DM bits.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, here with my co-host, Just Walker, Mama Valverde, in town. So Mike is in absentia. Walker and I are going to be doing the AFC North, finishing up our divisional preview series. And then I said it on the last episode, but I believe that was a Patreon only. We are taking next week off. I'm going to the Expo. The last few years, I've been doing prep work at the Expo, and I said, you know what? This year, no prep work. We're not doing it. We didn't take a single week off this year, so no days off. Sorry, some days off. Walker, how are you?
We love an occasional day off, folks.
Yeah.
Yep, I'm in just enjoying my time thinking about fantasy football. We're close. It's getting there again, folks. It's almost time. Been writing up some stuff for Optimus. You can go check that out. Yeah, just feels like we're all gearing up for it again, and it's an exciting time of the year for us sickos.
Yeah, my orb is almost fully pondered. Like oh. We're done with the divisional preview series, right? My writing, the last thing I do off season is the sleeper breakout and bust for every team. I have nine teams left. So I'm almost three, like I'm gonna probably write one tonight and I'll be three quarters of the way done. It's like, and then it's just full draft season. It's like the pondering is almost over. Like the navel is thoroughly gazed. We need to start actually doing things. So I did a couple DraftKings and I've learned I'm terrible at fast drafts. I am awful. I can't do it. So I gotta, to get my fix, I gotta join like 10 slow drafts and then I'm good. Because if I do a fast draft, I panic. I'm like, fuck, come on, a guy. I guess okay. That's how I am drafting. So
that's not great.
That's not great. But oh, one thing. Everybody, go check out Crossing Routes podcast, powered by FTN. Our old buddy Herms, Walker called him the goated. Was it the goated cis white boy?
Yes, that's right.
Yes, he had me on yesterday, or maybe day before yesterday by the time you're hearing this. We talked just like high level, just like redraft philosophies. So like I talked about like decide what you want to pay for your onesie positions. You'll never guess what player I evangelized on the podcast.
Chig?
Yes. I was like, I'm not here to evangelize Chig. And Herm's like, let's go back. Let's talk about Chig a little bit. I was like, you got it, brother.
You should not have mentioned Chig to the Commanders fan.
Oh, that's true. I didn't think about that. All right. So let's get into the. He's a Steelers fan.
Oh yeah, he is. He's just
he's
from,
just from yeah. He's from the DMV
yeah. He's a
area.
Steelers fan. He's not a Commander. He's a Nationals fan. That's what it
yeah.
is.
Yeah. He's like Evan, where he's in a different area, so he gets inundated with sports talk from that area. Like Evan is like on the pulse of the Seattle Seahawks because he lives in Western Washington.
Nice.
Yeah. So
I am
right.
also on the pulse of the Seattle Seahawks because I have a bunch of idiot mutuals on social media.
There you go. Perfect. Speaking of idiots, let's talk about the Cleveland Browns. That's Ooh. The only place we could start, Walker, with that transition. So I got the Cleveland Browns here. Good news. You probably don't have to worry about most of the Browns, but let's get into it. Script today for two teams, 3,000 words, which if I'm doing two teams, pretty normal. So normal script, mm-hmm. normal script hours. All right. The Cleveland Browns, Jettison. Hello, everybody, and welcome. Let's just start the whole
four
thing
words
over.
In.
The Cleveland Browns jettisoned male model slash head coach Kevin Stefanski all the way down to what the hell, man?
Stefanski.
God, I'm leaving it all in. All right. Anyways, Kevin Stefanski isn't there anymore. Todd Monken is in from the Baltimore Ravens in what they're calling a reverse Cleveland Browns, which sounds like something you'd find on Urban Dictionary. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, this team already looks like what that Urban Dictionary entry probably is. A 1993 report from Sandia National Laboratories aimed to communicate a series of messages non-linguistically to any future visitors to a nuclear waste site. As an example of it, of the wording, it included the phrase, quote, "This place is not a place of honor. No highly esteemed deed is commemorated here. Nothing valued is here." That is the 2026 Cleveland Browns quarterback room. Deshaun Watson, in the final year of his blockbuster contract, is ostensibly the QB1. The last time we saw Watson, however, he was ass. In his six games before karma hit him and popped his Achilles, he averaged 170 passing yards, 0.8 passing touchdowns, and 0.3 rushing touchdowns per game. I'm sorry, 0.3 picks rushing for 25 yards per game. This isn't a fluke either, as his entire time in Cleveland, he's averaged 177 passing yards on 6 yards per attempt, one touchdown, and 0.6 picks per game. He has a 3.4% touchdown rate, 2.2 interception rate, and has more popped Achilles than game-winning drives in his 3 years in Cleveland. He sucks. He's a bad man, and his legs are toast, which are the only things that were giving him any fantasy points, so you can ignore him. He's going up against Pro Bowl quarterback Shedeur Sanders, who, while a spoiled brat, isn't a Watson-tiered bad guy. So I guess we're rooting for Sanders here. Unfortunately, he sucks ass too. From a fantasy perspective, he has one top 5 finish, two top 18 finishes, and 6 finishes at QB20 or worse in his 8 career games. That is to say, he isn't a good fantasy quarterback either. His air yards on completion sat south of 5, which puts him below Jake Browning and paired with Tua Tagovailoa in that statistic. He's bad too. Fuck him. Both quarterbacks are going outside the top 30. Who cares? Dylan Gabriel also sucks. Talon Green also probably sucks, but he's going to be a must-start fantasy quarterback if the Browns turn to him because he rocks and is essentially Terrell Pryor. Anything you want to add about the quarterbacks? They are garbo.
No, this is the worst quarterback room in the league by like 3 miles.
Yeah. Thank God Kyler Murray's in Minnesota.
I mean...
Or that would be the worst room.
I think J.J. McCarthy... Yeah, yeah. I mean, it'd be similar. Yeah,
very close. Even,
I suppose, but yeah, with Kyler there, it makes it 3 miles better.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk the wide receivers. There's 3 guys here: KC Concepcion, Denzel Boston, and Jerry Jeudy. Mm-hmm. They go pick 124 and 149. KCC in Boston. Jerry Jeudy, I'm not worried about because much like Yamal in the Messi photo shoot 20 years ago and Messi this past weekend, he's washed. Folks, that's a World Cup reference. Look it up. Kevin Concepcion is a slot receiver who drops a ton of footballs. He had a 9% drop rate in college and as such is mostly a manufactured touch and short area yak guy in the NFL and not somebody I'm particularly enthusiastic about succeeding in fantasy football despite his highlight plays. He has very little down-to-down consistency as evidenced by his drops, and the Browns have already had news reports come out that lead with the dreaded, we're going to get him the ball in a myriad of ways. That means jet sweeps, baby. That always means carries. That having been said, he's a dynamic playmaker who can make life hell on opposing defenses when he gets the ball in his hands, which is what makes him such a good return man. The thing that makes him dangerous to have on your offense is the fact that he struggles to get separation and is even worse at contested catches. He could have a decent career ahead of him as a returner or a wide receiver 3 specialist. He could peak as a team's wide receiver 2, like the Browns, but he has zero chance of being a true wide receiver 1. His wiggliness will be his carrying trait in the NFL. He is very good at making tacklers miss in the open field. Unfortunately, he does a terrible job of stacking moves, so he'll miss a would-be tackler right into another guy's hands. He's also passive at the catch point, I'm just not excited about him for fantasy football. Walker, I know you have a different look on KC Concepcion, so I was going to turn to you on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I do think you're harping on the drops a lot when drops are an extremely non-sticky stat and change wildly from year to year.
You know what else isn't sticky? His hands.
Fair enough.
Got him.
I also don't think he's a bad separator. I think he gets open pretty well. I think he is not only shifty after the catch, but tough. I don't think he's going to short arm passes over the middle of the field. I think he's going to stand up and try to make plays for his team. Now, there are downsides. He is small. He is not going to do any contested catches because of that. And yes, he is, because of his size and speed, or lack of size and speed, he's definitely going to be the designated gadget man for the offense, which will take away from his receiving opportunities to some degree. He was drafted first before Boston and will likely get more targets because I don't think Cleveland's offense is going to be functional enough to throw the ball down the field. And therefore, the manufactured targets and easy stuff underneath is going to be what keeps the offense afloat. Harold Fannin is obviously the alpha in the passing game here, but I think Concepcion will likely lead the team in fantasy points. Unfortunately, that still leaves him outside my top 120 players.
Yeah, I can see you, like, your belief in Concepcion, like, I can see it, like, but the Browns context of it all, it's like, he feels like the type of player that won't thrive with the bad quarterback room, because of the Fannin of it all too, because if I'm going over the middle or I'm going short area release valve, am I going to go to my tight end, a big beefy guy, or, you know, little guy Concepcion, who I agree, I think he's a demon after the catch. But it's just getting him the ball is the issue. I'm completely willing to be wrong on him. I just have no interest in him. And it doesn't sound like you're super interested in him either, outside of like a punt, not like a punt play, but like a sleeper play.
Or like a punt return. Aha. Anyway,
folks. All right. Casey Concepcion is wide receiver 52, pick 124 overall. Concepcion or Romeo Doubs?
Doubs.
Casey Concepcion or Jalen Coker?
Concepcion.
I'm going Coker. Or Xavier Worthy?
Concepcion. That one's easy.
That is easy. I wanted to give you one where I'm like, yeah, I'll go KCC there. KCC or JCM?
JCM.
Mark Andrews.
Andrews.
All right. Or Kyler?
Concepcion.
All right. And there was something else you were going to say about Concepcion before I started my.
I don't remember. He is. I prefer him in a dynasty context where he has a chance to end up with a better quarterback at some point. This year, yeah, he's probably going to. His ceiling is probably like wide receiver 40. So I don't really see the point, I guess.
Yeah, and even my guy, Denzel Boston, I'm not super bullish on the case. So let's talk to him really quick about him really quick. He's big and fast, blocks his ass off, will likely be the run game coordinator's favorite wide receiver right away. He's a good deep threat, despite not being a speedster, because he's a good ball tracker. He has good hands and body control. I think he's a very fluid mover for his size. Working well underneath. I think he's a decent route runner, but not a great one. His best strength is boxing out defenders and using his size to keep him away from the football, which keeps him winning downfield and in traffic. At his worst, he's their number two wide receiver. That's if Casey Concepcion like balls out. And I feel like his profile has some upside if Harold Fannin gets hurt. That's kind of where I am with him, where it's like he could, because he's so good underneath, especially compared to Concepcion because of the size difference. I think that he could dominate targets in a, I'm trying to think of the best comp for him, like a Michael Pittman, if he never went downfield sort of way when the Colts were bad. Despite going in the top 40, I do concede the Browns took him second. At wide receiver, and they already have a release valve in Harold Fannin, like I said. He's a double-digit round pick in 2026 draft leagues. He's the profile of a player who can produce right away, but the team context stinks. The quarterbacks aren't any good, and there are a ton of weapons around him. I'm not the biggest KCC fan, so I think there's a chance that Boston is ahead of him on the depth chart. That's early reports out of camp have him as that. But again, that's camp. You know, I don't trust early camp reports. There's a lot stacked against Boston his rookie year, but I don't think talent's one of them. You're further down on Denzel Boston, and so is everybody else. He's wide receiver 60, as compared to wide receiver 52 for KCC. So, Boston or Dr. Umar Cooper?
I'm gonna go with Dr. Umar Cooper.
All right, Boston or Jalen McMillan?
McMillan.
Boston or Jalen Naylor?
Naylor.
I hardly know her. Boston or Algier?
Okay, where is Algier? Algier.
Hardly know her. Boston or Malik Willis?
Willis.
Boston or Big Jig?
Big.
All right. Not really much to talk about on the Browns. Quinshon Judkins is the highest drafted player on the Browns. He's also a human piece of shit, and people are getting really excited about him for 2026 fantasy football. Personally, I don't get it. Judkins was a great talent coming out of college, but had a shortened offseason thanks to quote-unquote off-field issues, a euphemism used to say that he beat a woman. He ended his rookie year when he destroyed his leg late in the season and is recovering from those injuries. He's expected to be a full go at camp, but even if he is a full go, I still don't see his RB23 ADP paying off for you this season. So his advanced stats leave you with literally nothing to get excited about. He was 33rd in explosive rating, 55th in yards per touch, 52nd in yards created per touch, and 66th in fantasy points per attempt, finishing as RB25 in fantasy points per game. This is while having the fifth most stuffed runs last season, so he has nowhere really to go. If you look at that profile, there isn't much to get excited about. And if you look at the team context, there's even less to get excited about. Judkins had 11 carries inside the five last season, which was 61.1% of the team's carries last year. So three out of every five carries inside the five went to Quinshon Judkins, and that was 11 carries. So yikes. This was the same as Sean Tucker and Ramondre Stevenson, who were both in shared backfields and on the short side of the platoon from a touch perspective. Judkins had the 16th highest opportunity share last season and couldn't get any decent carries at the goal line because the team sucks. Ultimately, the ADP is projection and hope/cope about Judkins from the fantasy community that felt like they were right, just robbed last year when they drafted him high. So, Walker, what are your thoughts on Quinshon Judkins?
I think that he is largely a fine to good running back who is in a horrible situation for consistent production. And he's probably going about where he should because he has basically no competition for touches, but he's going to be brutally inefficient and he doesn't catch the ball that much. So, yeah, he's a low-end RB2 or high-end flex. And I think he is going to be boring, honestly. He's not going to... clicking him where he's going is value neutral. There are other guys going around him that I would rather have.
For example, Quinshon Judkins or Trevion Henderson?
Judkins.
Quinshon Judkins or DeAndre Swift?
Swift.
Quinshon Judkins or David Montgomery?
Monty.
Judkins or Lamar?
Lamar.
Judkins or Tyler Warren?
Tyler Warren.
Judkins or J-Mo?
J-Mo.
All right. There's nobody else worth worrying about on the depth chart. Jerome Ford is gone, so maybe Dylan Sampson gets more touches, but he doesn't matter.
Right.
There's not a world where he matters. Let's talk about Harold Fannin. He was a beast last season, but he is being drastically underdrafted at his current draft spot. This isn't to say that Fannin doesn't belong at tight end six, as that's also where I have him. That is to say that he is a fantastic pick at tight end six, and he's going literally one pick before Kyle Pitts. That gap should be much bigger. Last year, 23 tight ends ran at least 300 routes, and Fannin among those tight ends was fifth in air yard share, first in targets per route run, fourth in yards per route run, first in yards after contact per reception, third in first read target share, behind two guys. Tell me if these guys are any good, Walker. Trey McBride and Brock Bowers?
I think they're pretty good.
Team contact stinks out loud, but the team contact stunk out loud last year, and he dominated. The Browns brought in some target competition this year, but when I look at tight ends, I decide, is this a guy that you chunk off targets for first? And I think that Fannin is one of those tight ends, that they build the game around him before doling targets out to everyone else. So I don't fear the Boston and Concepcion additions. I'm diving back into the Fannin waters, and I don't even have to chop up his last 16 quarters to decide that I like him last season, unlike fantasy points. There's just not much to say about Fannin. He's a great pick. If I miss on Tucker Kraft, I'll take Fannin or hashtag just draft Chig.
Woo!
Harold Fannin or Tucker Kraft?
I will go with Fannin.
All right, Harold Fannin or Kyle Pitts?
Fannin.
Or Sam Laporta?
Fannin.
Fannin or Ramondre?
Fannin.
Fannin or Herbert?
Fannin.
Fannin or QJ?
Fannin. I mean, he's going way too late. Like,
he really is.
I have him at player 52 overall.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like, that was the crux of what I was just talking about. I was like, yeah, he's tight end six. That's where I have him. But like, he's tight end six back to back with Kyle Pitts. I'll take Harold Fannin over Pitts 100 times out of 100.
Like, for example, I have Fannin tight end four, but I have him one spot ahead of Tyler Warren and two and three spots ahead of Tucker Kraft.
Yeah.
But after Tucker Kraft at tight end six, he is player 55 overall. My next tight end is Sam Laporta, and he's player 76.
That's exactly the type of gap that should be existing behind that Fannin Kraft Warren group. That's exactly how it should be. And somehow Fannin ended up on the other side of that gap, which is ridiculous value.
Because the Browns suck.
Yeah. Well, guess what? But the Browns sucked last year too.
Exactly. They were just as bad, if not worse, last year, and he was still the man.
Yeah, he was. All right. So that is your 2026 Cleveland Browns. Not a whole hell of a lot to say. Do you want to go with your Steelers or your Bengals first?
We're going to go with Da Bungles.
Da Bungles.
So we'll start off with Jose Burrow. I like Joe Burrow as a player. I mean, you can't deny the, you know, he is the career record holder in completion percentage in NFL history. So, I mean, obviously the man knows how to get the ball to his receivers. It's never been a problem. Sub-2 interception rate for his career, 5.6 touchdown. His career quarterback rating's over 100. I mean, he's good. He's very good at football. The problem is that he's had 6 seasons in the NFL, and in 3 of those seasons, he's missed at least 6 games. He's also, due to those injuries, he runs basically none anymore. He's kind of just the same guy that he always is. The offense the Bengals run with Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow and the receivers they have doesn't change. It's always the same thing. And while that is productive, it leads to a lot of empty calories. And the Bengals, since their Super Bowl run, have done nothing. In the season since then, they have been essentially 500. I don't think they've made the playoffs even once. This is not a team that is going up. I don't feel. I mean, I feel like this is a stagnant roster. And Burrow has an uphill climb to continue to put up, you know, 35 touchdowns, 43 touchdowns, like he has in his previous 2 healthy seasons. Like, he's got 2 guys to throw the ball to, and they're really good. But one of those guys in T. Higgins, who we'll talk about later, is also hurt almost every season. So, yeah. I don't know. I like Burrow. I think he is a perfectly good player, and I don't think drafting him at QB4 is necessarily wrong. But And he's going, what, pick 59 overall? I have him pick 62, so it's not like I'm way off. But I would rather take Jaden Daniels a little later. I would rather take Dak Prescott a lot later. Mm-hmm. And I feel that Burrow's ceiling is not quite as high as people think it is. People are drafting him as if he could be QB1 overall. He does not run enough to be QB1 overall.
No, let's be clear. Unless Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson get hurt, QB1 is not in his range of outcomes. Arguably, right. Even if Jaden Daniels has to get hurt too, just because he doesn't run. It's not what he does. He's a better quarterback than Jaden Daniels, but what he does is not conducive to fantasy points. Like, rushing is far more beneficial to your fantasy team. So I'm with you on Burrow. Like, and we talked about this last offseason too with the Bengals. We're like, okay, cool. You guys are going to have a dominant offense, but you're going to be stuck in neutral because you have no defense. No defense at all whatsoever. And they traded for Sexy Dexy, but yeah, they traded the number 10 pick for him.
Right. And they don't have Trey Hendrickson anymore.
Yeah. So they traded the number 10 pick and essentially made a lateral move. Well, no, Dexy's a little bit better than Hendrickson because Hendrickson's getting up there. But
fair.
But the value received out of the number 10 pick is not commensurate to what they, if they had just stuck and picked, because they could have just gone out and gotten somebody with the money that they paid Dexter Lawrence to. So it's just, I don't know. They're this is what happens when a cheap team, we were talking at length about the Kings before the podcast. That's the Browns. They're a cheap Bengals. Team. I mean, sorry, the Bengals. They're a cheap team. That's what it comes down to. They don't want to pay for things. That's the only reason Zach Taylor still has a job, is because they don't want to pay two head coaches at the same time.
Right.
So they're a very fragile offense. They're a very fragile team construction because they built the team around three exceptionally talented players, two of which are hurt all the time. And right. I love Joe Burrow too. I think he's the right kind of weirdo. Like, he's a very cool weirdo. He's a very cool quarterback. But this is a fragile team construction.
Right. That's the thing. It feels like a house of cards to me. And I'm not going to advocate taking a guy at QB4 who is the head of the house of cards.
Yeah. And I'm taking Joe Burrow in DraftKings, the ones that I'm doing, because if you're not first, you're last, basically.
So right. It's like, in those situations, it's like, yeah, I'll take a shot on Joe Burrow throwing for 5,000 yards.
Yeah, exactly. And it's almost always Joe Burrow, T. Higgins. It's like, because if one of those guys goes down, the other one's not going to return their value.
Right.
So right. I'm going to.
In the event they both play like 15 or 16 games, like, yeah, they're going to finish pretty high. So
yeah, then I'm cooking. So I'm with you in lockstep on there. By the way, did you see the Joe Burrow, the guy asking for his autograph?
No.
It was a pretty good video. So it's some streamer. He's wearing a Joe Burrow jersey and he goes up to Joe Burrow. He's like, hey, if I show you a shirt that makes you smile, and it's a POV, so I didn't see what the shirt was. He says, if I show you my shirt and it makes you smile, can I get an autograph? And Joe Burrow goes, absolutely. So he shows him his shirt and Joe Burrow just tanks it. Like, he does not smile at all. And he just goes, that didn't make me smile. And he's like, can I still get an autograph? He's like, yeah, man, of course. But he was just like, it's just like the right kind of weirdo. Like, he just is like, that didn't make me smile at all.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah. So, all right. Joe Burrow.
We'll do some this or that's here.
Okay.
Joe Burrow or Drake May?
Drake May.
Okay. They are going two picks apart. So Joe Burrow or Jaden Daniels?
I'm going Burrow.
Okay. I would go Daniels, but it's very close. Joe Burrow or Jalen Hurts?
Joe Burrow.
I agree on that one.
Let's go back to that Jaden Daniels thing really quick. I just want to say why I'm going Jaden Daniels over Joe Burrow. It's because they have the same fragility to me. And Jaden Daniels, and because remember, I'll never forget, I don't remember who said it, but I'll never forget somebody comped, it was probably Ian Hartitz, comped Jaden Daniels to Johnny Knoxville. Like, because whenever he gets hit, he goes flying. Dude doesn't know how to get it.
All over the place, yeah.
Yeah. So that's why I'm going Burrow over Jaden Daniels, because I think similar injury risk, and Joe Burrow has a longer track record. So that's why I'm going Burrow over Daniels.
Fair enough. I'm going Daniels because running.
Ooh. That's fair. That's fair enough.
Let's say Joe Burrow or Tyler Warren.
Burrow.
Okay. I would go Warren. back-to-back play. This is so funny. going back-to-back. Joe Burrow or Bashel Tootin?
Oh, man. Let me tell you how much I love Bashel Tootin. No, Joe Burrow.
And Joe Burrow or Roma Dunze?
In best ball, I'm going Burrow. In standard redraft, I'm probably going to Dunze.
Fair enough. So we'll move on to Chase Brown, the only running back we're talking about here.
Samaje Perine?
No. And I'm going to be honest. I don't think Chase Brown is that worth talking about this year because he's going RB10, pick 16 overall, and that is ridiculous in my
opinion. Oh, wow. Let's hear it.
I don't think he is a top 12 running back. I just don't see... I really don't see the ability level, to be honest. He's been largely fine in his career, 4.3 yards per carry, when he's facing a lot of light boxes. He does catch a lot of passes, but he's not actually all that great at it. His success rate is under 50% for his career, and the last two seasons he's averaged under 7 yards per catch. He's 229 and 232 carries the last 2 years. He's been around 1,000 yards, around half a dozen touchdowns, but he's just there. He is a normal starting running back in the NFL. It's just that he's in the high powered Bengals offense and doesn't have touch competition. And that's great. It is good for fantasy, but I don't see any upside here. I don't see where he's going to suddenly become a top 10 running back, because he's been a guy who runs for 1,000 yards and half a dozen touchdowns and has 400 receiving yards and a few touchdowns there. He's like souped up Tony Pollard or Javonte Williams. And I just feel like you can get somebody who's going to give you pretty much the entirety of Chase Brown's production with similar upside around 2 rounds later. I mean, Jeremiah Love is going after him. Derrick Henry is going after him. Josh Jacobs, bad guy, but he's going after him. Byron Williams, like, I don't see why Brown is so far ahead of all those guys, at least half a round ahead of all of them, and at least a full round ahead of a lot of them. It doesn't add up to me. I don't see where is he going to get these yards. He's already been, the last 2 years, the only guy in the backfield, and he's put up high-level RB2 numbers. This is what he is, and I can understand that you like the role. But the player is what he is, and I can't countenance just suddenly deciding that he's a top 10 guy just because, well, Derrick Henry's older now. But he's still Derrick Henry.
You've talked me into moving him down to 12. I've made the move.
Fair enough.
Unfortunate side effect.
I was gonna say, you will be aghast at where I have him. You won't be that surprised, probably.
Unfortunate side effect, by the way. DeAndre Swift up to RB11.
Bit much, dude.
Nope.
Yeah, he's my bad value of the week. Going RB10 in the second round. I have him RB16 in the fourth. I will have zero Chase Brown.
I will also have zero Chase Brown. Here, let me so I'm gonna bring up two things about your Chase Brown evaluation. And I'm not pushing back on Chase Brown. You hit Chase Brown on the head. My question is, number one, you said you would rather have Kyren Williams. Why? They're the same profile.
They're a similar profile. Kyren Williams will have more opportunities to run for touchdowns.
Will he, though?
And I think that he has been a more consistent player in his career. I think he's better at football.
My will he, though, my pushback on that is Davante Adams had 27 end zone targets last year. The league leader in carries inside the five was Derrick Henry with 27, and Jonathan Taylor was second with 23. So basically, Kyren Williams is contending with what's essentially the number one goal line back on his team. So that's why I don't think that Kyren has the opportunity share.
He still had 10 touchdowns last year, though.
Sure. And everything broke right for the Rams last year. We're not anticipating everything breaking right for the Rams again this year, or else Matthew Stafford would be much higher.
Sure. And then in 2024, he had 14 touchdowns. And in 2023, he had 12 touchdowns. And his rushing success rate has been higher than Brown's every year.
I'm just asking why you were so locked in on Williams over Brown. And I see them very similarly. I see them very similarly as all. And I was curious what had you. It's goal line opportunity, and he's a better running back.
Right. Like he won't catch as many passes, but he runs the ball more and more effectively in a slightly more streamlined offense. So it's not a big difference, I will say. I think I have them two spots apart, but I would take Williams instead.
I too am not falling for the Blake Corum industrial complex.
No. Blake Corum is a good backup.
Yeah, hold on. I'm trying to see how many goal line carries inside the five Kyren had last year. Let's see here. Fantasy Points Data Suite will give you the percent of team carries inside the five without doing any filtering, but you literally have to go in and say situation, yards to goal, inside five. Okay, let's see how many Kyren had last year. Because I think pre-Devontae Adams, after Devontae Adams, I think it matters. Kyren had 18 attempts inside the five last year, which was... Walker, I retract my statement. He was sixth in the league and carries inside the five. All right, I retract my statement, Walker.
Statement, there we go.
Retracted. Chase Brown, 12, had 12.
Right.
Which was behind Blake Corum.
I mean, this is what people don't get, is that, like, there is no upside case for Chase Brown. You are taking him at his ceiling.
Yeah. And that, what I was going to say is, you like Chase Brown. You like Chase Brown's situation. You know what you can do 2-3 rounds later? Little man by the name of David Montgomery.
Exactly. I was thinking that as well, is that you can get 85 to 90% of Chase Brown's production in like the sixth round.
Yeah. It's the same profile on a worse, like, we'll be clear, a worse offense, but it's the same profile. It's the same usage profile. So,
Chase Brown, RB10, pick 16 overall. Chase Brown or Omarion Hampton?
Chase Brown.
I agree, actually. Chase Brown or Ken Walker?
Chase Brown.
I would go Walker. Chase Brown or Derrick Henry?
Derrick Henry.
Yes. And Chase Brown or Jeremiah Love?
Love.
Agreed.
Yeah. You saw the zillion question mark post I made of Omarion Hampton over Saquon Barkley by ADP.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
It's fixed. Don't worry. It's fixed.
He's one pick below him again.
Yeah, it's fixed, everybody. Crisis averted.
Let's see. Chase Brown or Josh Allen?
See, this puts me at a bad spot because I'm drafting neither. I would say probably Josh Allen.
I would agree. Chase Brown or your number one tight end?
Give me McBreezy.
McBreezy. Okay. And then Chase Brown or Nico Collins?
Nico.
Agreed. All right. So as we said, Samaje Perine in his third go around with the Bengals. No. So, moving on to the receivers, we've got Ja'Marr Chase. There's not a whole lot to say. He has set records in his NFL career. If he's healthy, he will be one of the top four receivers in fantasy. Him and Joe Burrow have a fantastic connection, almost, you know, mind meld type stuff. He's great going down the field. He's great in contested catches. He gets open constantly. He's really good after the catch. There's no weakness in his game. So I really think the top three guys are pretty clearly... Chase is going number one, then Nakua, then Smith and Jigba. I have them in a different order, but those are the top three guys.
Yeah, I also have, Chase. I think I have Chase second of those three. I think I have Puka, Chase JSN, just because I'm baking a little regression for JSN, a little bit more Rashid Shaheed as they get him more involved. But it's unlike T. Higgins, who we'll talk about in a second. I think that Ja'Marr Chase is locked and loaded because in the event of a Joe Burrow injury, Joe Flacco is there again. And Joe Flacco last year was like, I know where my bread is buttered, dog. He literally said, my job is to throw it to one when I'm on the field.
Yeah, exactly. And he's correct.
So he's insulated against a Joe Burrow injury in a way that T. Higgins isn't, I think. So I think that...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that whoever you prefer between Puka, JSN, and Ja'Marr Chase, there is no wrong answer. They are all correct answers.
Would you like to guess how many targets Ja'Marr Chase has over the last two seasons?
Did he miss any games?
One
game. I'm going to go 319.
360.
Jesus Christ!
175 in 2024 and 185 last season.
Oh my God.
He has 252 receptions over the last 2 years.
Oh, Jesus Christ. The man is unstoppable.
Yeah, he's an absolute monster. He's only missed more than four games one time in 5 years. He's got a good quarterback. I mean, dude is unassailable. I simply have him as wide receiver three because I'm not sure about the Bengals situation as much as other teams. And I think that Seattle and LA are much better set up to have continuous success. But Ja'Marr Chase is super stable at the top of your drafts. If you get him in the first round, you will get a stud player.
Yeah. Like I said, there's no wrong answer of the three. And you know what? I was going to assail him, but I will not.
Here we go.
You said he's unassailable. I will stand by your stance.
Thank you. And we love to stand by a stance, folks. but yeah, so Chase going wide receiver one, third overall. Ja'Marr Chase or Bijan Robinson?
Can you say something? I was thinking. I was making thinking noises. I'm going to go Bijan.
Okay. Chase or Nacua?
Nacua.
Chase or St. Brown?
Chase.
Chase or Christian McCaffrey?
Oh, Chase. Easy.
And Chase or Jahmyr Gibbs?
Oh, come on now. Jahmyr Gibbs, number one overall, 101. Jahmyr Gibbs.
That's right. All right. So that's it for Ja'Marr Chase. He is a simple one. We'll go on to T. Higgins. The only other receiver in this room that matters. Andre Yoshivas had that like five or six touchdown year, and he still didn't matter. So you can safely ignore that.
Yeah.
T. Higgins, the man who has never received more than 110 targets in a season. It's still hard to believe, but he hasn't. A lot of that is because he usually doesn't play a full season. He's never played, he's played the full season twice before the 17-game season started, but he's never played a full season in the 17-game era. 12 games, 12 games, 15 games. So he's not necessarily...
12 games, 15 games, sorry.
Yes. he's not necessarily, like, long-term injury-prone. He's just usually beat up. And I think that's partially because of his role, because he is a big go-up-and-get-it receiver. Doesn't have the most speed, doesn't have the most separation skills, but he's elite at high-pointing the ball. He's elite at the little sharp movements that allow you to create just enough separation so that an accurate quarterback like Burrow can get the ball into you. He's very consistent when he's out there. He's a good intermediate to downfield threat. He catches a lot of touchdowns, and he's gotten even better at that recently. But again, the problem is that this man has had between 108 and 110 targets four times in his career, but never more than 110. We know who he is.
Yeah, he never plays a full year, like ever.
And he's always across from Mr. Target Hog, Ja'Marr Chase. So this is a capped player, but his ceiling is... like super stable wide receiver too. It's just that everybody wants him to be more than that because, well, what if he got 130 targets? He's not gonna. I don't know what to tell you. He's not gonna do that.
Yeah, it's the wouldn't it be cool?
Exactly.
Wouldn't it be cool if he got 130 targets?
Yeah, this would be really sick. And yeah, it would, but it isn't gonna happen. Higgins is going wide receiver 17, pick 37 off the board. I have him wide receiver 20, but I do think early fourth is a perfectly fine place to draft him. I think that's about where he should be going.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that some of the receivers around him are simply better picks in my estimation. Let's go T. Higgins or Zay Flowers.
Oh, well, I have Zay Flowers as wide receiver 12, so.
Indeed, you do. I would also go Flowers. T. Higgins or Emeka Egbigbu.
Emeka Egbigbu. I would go Higgins, probably, actually.
I would also go Higgins, but it is extremely close. Higgins or Teteroa McMillan?
Give me McMillan.
McMillan going two picks later. Higgins or Ladd McConkey?
I'm going Higgins, actually.
One Rad Ladd on that one. And let's see, Higgins or going 17 picks later, Jameson Williams?
I
especially at cost, but honestly, straight up, I would take JMO also. And then Higgins or Colston Loveland?
Higgins.
I'd go Loveland. Higgins or Lamar?
Lamar.
Okay. I think I'd go Higgins. And Higgins or the closest running back to him is Travis Etienne.
Oh, Higgins.
Let's see. I would go Higgins as well, but I think it's close.
Let me ask you one.
Uh-huh.
Higgins or Malik Nabers?
Higgins.
Okay, just curious.
I'm basically completely out on Nabers.
Yeah, me too.
He's too hurt, I feel like. It's just, I don't trust him to stay healthy whatsoever at this point.
Reading his x-rays and shaking your head so everybody knows you disagree?
That's true. 100%. I am doing that. And that's it for the Bengals. As I said, Andre Yoshivas, no. Mike Gesicki is not currently being drafted. Also, Mike Gesicki has been the same guy both seasons in Cincinnati. You know what he is. He's a low-end blob tight end with higher ceiling than most blob tight ends because of the offense he plays in.
You know what he is, the GOAT.
Mike Gesicki, make you sicky. Mike Valverde.
No. Mike's most painful lathe yet. He always, because Mike Gesicki, you know what happens? Going back at 3 a.m. for more Mike Gesicki. That's me drafting every year.
It's like, well, he's a good pick in the last round of best ball. And folks, I'm not sure he is.
I did get mad that somebody took Mike Gesicki in a 19th round of a draft I did this weekend. That's like, great. Come on. I was like, I was getting my Karen O on. I was like, they don't love you like I love you, Mike. Let's go.
You normal brain. I was mad about this guy taking my guy in the 19th round of a fantasy draft.
Mike Maps Gesicki. Anybody? Huh? Yes. You don't know about that.
What if he wore zero?
Oh my god. You know what would happen to the defense? Heads would roll. All right. That's enough of the Bengals. All right. Now it's my turn again. Let's talk about the Ravens. They kicked John Harbaugh to the curb and replaced him with Ben Johnson acolyte Declan Doyle. Declan Doyle's 30. He's your age.
He's also the son of the racist strength coach from Iowa.
Hell yeah. He's also not, can't be the most racist coach on the Baltimore Ravens because of the weird, special teams coach.
They have a weird special teams coach.
Yeah. Hold on. I completely forgot to bring this up. Ravens, he's like super MAGA, and where is it? Here it is. Oh, he is the guy behind Freedom Fuel, the special teams coach for the Ravens. You don't know what Freedom Fuel is?
No.
It's the Trump branded gas stations that are selling gas for $3.47.
Good Lord.
Good Lord is correct. All right. Speaking of Lord, Lamar Jackson. He's a Lamar Jackson. You've heard of him? He's QB2 off the board, and he deserves that spot. The two-time MVP played in just 13 games last season, and injuries crushed his production as he finished as QB15 in fantasy points per game. It's the first time he's finished lower than QB8 since he took over as the starter and broke a back-to-back streak of top three finishes for him. He was still elite on a rate basis, ranking fourth in fantasy points per dropback. He's always been an elite rusher, but he turned into an elite passer last season. He was eighth in deep ball catchable pass rate, third in play action catchable pass rate, seventh in clean pocket catchable pass rate, fifth in passer rating against man, and 13th against zone, all per player profiler. There's not much to say about Lamar Jackson, to be completely honest with you. He still runs, having the sixth most designed runs per game at the sixth most yards per carry. So he was high end at the number of times he ran and how efficient he was. I personally think that he's a great price compared to Lamar, blah, 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 compared to Josh Allen, who goes 19 picks ahead of him as the QB1. Like I said, there's not much to say about Lamar Jackson. To me, he's still Lamar Jackson. And if you want him, I don't think there's going to be another year for another few years till he starts to fall off, where him going as QB2 is as good a value compared to QB1 as it is this year. So if you want him, this is the year to get him. So, I mean, that's all I have about Lamar Jackson. He's elite, and he's become a better passer.
Certainly.
He is the NFL all-time record holder in quarterback rating right now.
I do know that. Yes. It's awesome.
It's crazy. So yeah, he's an elite passer. He's an elite rusher. Weapons are just fine. He's not quite a freight train like Josh Allen, which is what keeps Josh Allen as QB1, because he's going to score more touchdowns. Also, Lamar Jackson doesn't run around the goal line as much as you think he would. He does a great job of staying healthy running. He always gets crushed in the pocket, and they're like, see, a rushing quarterback. And it's like, yeah, he had Myles Garrett snap him in half, man. Like, I'm sorry, that could happen to anybody. Well, that's exactly. Not true. It could not happen to Myles Garrett's quarterback. That's the one person it couldn't happen to.
So Matthew Stafford, you're safe.
Matthew Stafford, you're not getting crushed in half by Myles Garrett. Brock Purdy, you're on notice.
Matthew Stafford hiding in the immortal chamber to avoid being hit in practice by Myles Garrett.
Oh, man. Do you think that he's going back in the immortal chamber?
Yeah, of course. It worked last year.
Yeah, I need to go in the immortal chamber, man.
Apparently. Yeah, I don't know what they're doing in there, but they are getting his shit in order.
I'm getting the Eric Andre let me in to the immortal chamber.
Just let me into the immortal chamber.
Yeah.
I got sucked off in the immortal chamber.
Whoa. Hey, you know what? Maybe that's what happened all summer. That's why he was so relaxed during the season. In there all day, every day. All right.
Quote, Matthew Stafford fluffed in immortal chamber.
All right, Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen at price?
Allen.
All right, is Lamar Jackson your QB2?
Yes.
All right, well then we'll skip the rest of this. Lamar Jackson or DeAndre Swift?
Swift.
Lamar Jackson or Jalen Waddle?
Waddle.
Lamar Jackson or Colston Loveland?
Loveland.
All right, so among the wide receivers, there are kind of three guys to worry about. There's Zay Flowers and two rookies, and worry about takes varying levels here. So let's talk about Zay Flowers first. He was my guy last year, pounded the table for him. He finished as wide receiver 18 headed into week 17 last year, but finished wide receiver 12 overall because he had a huge week 18 game. He finished the season with 86 catches for 1,211 yards and 5 touchdowns on 118 targets. So his price tag might seem a bit steep given that wide receiver 18 towards the end of the year. Let's not forget that Lamar Jackson missed 4 games and in his games with Lamar Jackson, Zay Flowers was wide receiver 12, averaging 14.9 PPR points on 7 targets, 5 catches, and 77 yards, scoring a touchdown every third game. As a player, he's almost elite. He's near elite, and he has an elite role in the offense. Here's a complete list of receivers last season who played at least 8 games with an air yard share over 30% and target share over 25%. JSN, Ja'Marr Chase, Puka Nacua, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Justin Jefferson, Drake London, AJ Brown, Chris Olave, and Zay Flowers. That's a list of wide receiver ones for 2026 redraft leagues by ADP and also Zay Flowers. For me, I have Zay Flowers as wide receiver 12 ahead of Chris Olave because the Jordan Tyson target competition is enough for me to move Olave behind Flowers. The Declan Doyle addition makes me more bullish on Flowers, who was the entire Ravens passing game last season. He's set to be the wide receiver one in a more potent passing offense this year, and not even the addition of Jacoby Lane can stop him. Wide receiver 14, pick 32 overall. Zay Flowers or Chris Olave?
Flowers.
Zay Flowers or Devonta Smith?
Smith.
I'm pulling an audible because my third one was T. Higgins, and we just talked about him. Zay Flowers or Amika Igbuka?
Flowers.
Or Javonte Williams?
Flowers.
Josh Allen?
Flowers.
Holston Loveland?
Flowers.
All right. Walker in on Flowers. All right.
Indeed.
There's two rookies on this team. Neither one has an ADP in a draftable range for standard 15-round drafts, as Jacoby Lane is going pick 280, wide receiver 105 overall, and Elijah Sherratt is going as 273, wide receiver 102 overall. Both are pretty much depth pieces for now. I previously wrote in the rookie roundup that I didn't see a path to Sherratt having a value in his rookie season without his Zay Flowers injury. And I've softened that stance after looking further into Declan Doyle and because he promises to run a pass heavier scheme, creating more room for receiving options to thrive. That having been said, I don't care about either of these guys for fantasy football. Just a quick profile rundown. Elijah Sherratt is a solid guy and Jacoby Lane is a big play guy. Pretty much what they are. Like, if I had to take a shot on a guy in a redraft league, it would probably, like, this is like the same split as like Denzel Boston, Casey Concepcion, but like not as talented players. So I'm not really super excited about him. Jacoby Lane's like a big play guy, 50-50 ball guy, above average yak, and Elijah Surratt's like just a rock solid underneath guy. I think he's going to be the Rashad Bateman replacement once Bateman's contract is up. So Walker, you have to take a shot on one. Jacoby Lane or Elijah Sherratt?
Sherratt. Yeah, Surratt's right. Better. I don't like Lane.
Yeah, I like Sherratt better.
You know who I like better than both of them, though?
Is it Rashad Bateman?
Yep.
No. No, this is my team preview. We're not talking about Rashad Bateman. We're not doing it. Walker, would you like to talk about Rashad Bateman?
Not really. He's in my last 30 players. I have him, let's see, in receiver rankings, I have him directly between Denzel Boston and Christian Kirk.
So you claim to like Rashad Bateman. You claim to not like Denzel Boston, yet Denzel Boston's ranked higher. Curious.
Yes, because there's a thing called cost.
There's a thing called checkmate and got your ass.
There are, but they don't apply in this situation.
All right, fair enough. Speaking of getting asses, do you want to talk about Derrick Henry?
Yeah, let's do it.
Derrick Henry took a step back last year from 2024, but his step back was nearly 1,600 rushing yards, 150 receiving yards, and 16 total touchdowns. At 5.2 yards per attempt. This was a step back because the year prior he had 1,900 rushing yards, 193 receiving yards, and 18 total touchdowns. His advanced stats tell a story of a running back who is on a slight decline, but is still elite. He was top 4 in carries each of the last 2 years, top 2 in breakaway runs, and had 5 more red zone touches last year compared to 2024, and 2 more goal line carries. And his juke rate still stayed high. as it was 18% in 2025 versus 20% in 2024. He dropped half a yard in yards created per touch between 24 and 25, but that's within the natural flux at the position. Derrick Henry is one of the guys that I'm going to keep clicking that button on him until he proves to me he doesn't deserve it, and he did not prove to me that he doesn't deserve it. I have him as my running back 9. He's running back 12 by ADP. Walker, I know you're in on Derrick Henry as well. Do you have anything to add about Mr. Henry?
I don't think he's washed. I think that he had a really rough start to the season, and that third straight game with a fumble against the Lions kind of woke him up. He played really well the rest of the year, and Hall of Fame players, especially ones that are built like tractors, are not subject to the same fall-offs that other players are. So I'm going to keep taking Derrick Henry in the top 10 running backs until he retires, basically, because he's going to be in a good offense. He's the clear lead back. He's going to get almost all the goal line opportunities. I really don't see what has changed, and he's the type of guy who can consistently hold up to this type of workload. So I have Henry at RB8, pick 14 overall for me.
Yeah, people want to apply the like standard aging curve to outlier players like Derrick Henry.
Right. It's like, I get that. I get applying the aging curve and being a year early as opposed to a year late, but you also have to just look at this dude as a clear exception.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we're in the same place there on Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry or Kenneth Walker?
Henry.
Derrick Henry or Saquon?
Saquon.
Same. Henry or Omarion Hampton?
Henry.
Henry or AJ Brown?
Henry.
Henry or Nico?
Henry.
All right. Let's talk about Mark Andrews. Isaiah Likely is gone. Mark Andrews is a sickeningly cheap pick, dropping all the way down into the blob this year, going as tight end 15 off the board. This is likely because Andrews disappeared down the stretch last season, finishing as tight end 25 or worse in 6 of his last 7 games. Notably, in the last 5 weeks, he was dealing with a glute injury, so because homie had a pulled ass, that explains why he did nothing to end the year. Unfortunately, while he was much better the rest of the year, he was still below the usability line anyway. He had 4 top 10 weeks under his belt before he pulled his butt and fell off the face of the earth. He likely beats his tight end 15 ADP thanks to the Isaiah Likely subtraction, not siphoning targets from him, though the rookies likely mucked that up. But there isn't a ton of upside there. He was still 10th in first read target share, 8th in red zone target share, and 12th in ADOT. But everything else was unimpressive to bad in his statistics. I have him 13th, just outside the usable tight ends, and that's when I wrote this. He's been dropped down to 14th, by the way. He's just outside the usable tight ends. He's fine as the second tight end in a 2 tight end draft. But again, my takeaway from looking at the Mark Andrews statistics just further solidifies 3 little words, Walker. 3 little words.
Draft chick.
You love to do it, folks. Chigazima Conquo. Just draft chick, baby. All right, Mark Andrews or Chig?
Mark Andrews.
Mark Andrews or Isaiah Likely?
Andrews. That one's easy.
Mark Andrews or Dalton Kincaid?
Andrews.
I'm going Andrews. Dalton Kincaid, I hate that I found all those rate stats with Dalton Kincaid. It's like I keep having to remind myself that he doesn't run any routes. I'm like, but he's so elite per route run.
Yes, because of Josh Allen.
Yeah, and he doesn't. Yeah, it's like he's on the field. He's going to get targeted. Josh Andrews. Walker, how do you feel about Josh Andrews this year?
Never heard of that guy.
Okay, he's bad. Mark Andrews or JCM?
Mark Andrews.
Mark Andrews or Kyler Murray?
Andrews.
Mark Andrews or Juan Daddy Robinson?
Ooh, gotta go with Juan Daddy.
Folks, that is a series wrap for Jeff on the 2026 team preview series. Walker, let's talk the Steelers.
Yeah, let's take it home with Aaron Rodgers. Sweet. Fun fact, did you know in Aaron Rodgers' last 3 full seasons, he has had a 4.8% touchdown rate? That's it. I don't really have anything else interesting to say about Aaron Rodgers. Oh, there's one more. He has never finished below quarterback 18 when he has played a full season. and he's currently going as quarterback 28. Therefore, I think simply because he's probably going to play a lot of games and be mildly productive, he's a really good pick in Superflex drafts because he's free. In one quarterback leagues, you don't need to worry about this guy at all. There's just no way there's any ceiling where he's going to end up near the top 12, so don't bother.
Yeah, my take on him is exactly the same as last year. He is the ideal third quarterback in a two quarterback league because of his price and the fact that unless he gets hurt, which he's my age and, you know, I hurt myself getting out of bed, he is going to play 17 games.
Most likely. All right, so yeah, I'm just not going to screw around with Aaron Rodgers. I just don't care about Aaron Rodgers anymore. He is a decent value because he will play a lot, and that's it. Quarterback 28 going in the last round, 15th. Aaron Rodgers or Fernando Mendoza?
To Aaron Rodgers.
Right. Aaron Rodgers or Jacoby Brissett?
I'm a Brissett weirdo. I don't believe they're going to turn to Carson Beck. Ready to be wrong.
I also have Brissett there.
Yes.
Let's see. Aaron Rodgers or Daniel Jones?
Give me the guy who's not currently rehabbing an Achilles injury.
Fair enough. And Aaron Rodgers or Bryce Young?
I'll take Bryce.
I'll take Rodgers. Bryce Young stinks. Let's see, Aaron Rodgers or A.J. Barner?
Rodgers.
Going back to back.
Wow. That's wild, Rodgers. Considering how you feel about Barner.
I know. Like, obviously, I would take Barner.
Yeah.
Rodgers or Trey Tucker?
You know what? I'm a Naylor guy, so I'll go Rodgers. I don't like that you keep making me choose Aaron Rodgers.
I know. And then I'll give you an easy one here. Rodgers or Jonah Coleman?
Oh, Jonah Coleman. Easy.
There we go. All right. We'll move on to the running backs, which is probably the most interesting part of this team offensively. Jaylen Warren is the incumbent starter. He is a good player. I mean, he was undrafted player as well, so we love to see an undrafted king thriving.
Mm-hmm.
He's also currently going as pick 69 overall, which we love to see. It's very nice.
That is a nice pick.
Running back 27, which I think is a little low. I feel he is a fringe top 24 guy, but he is going in the sixth round, which is, I would say, about right. Warren has been reasonably consistent across his career. He's also not missed a ton of games. People kind of think that he's injury prone, but he's in his 4-year career, he's missed 3 games. So I'm not sure where that narrative comes from.
Yeah.
He also broke out last season in that he finally caught a touchdown. In his first 3 seasons, God, he caught 0 touchdowns. Last year, he caught 2. But he in his first season as the, quote, lead, unquote, back, he and Kenneth Gainwell pretty much split. But Warren had 211 carries for 958 yards and 6 touchdowns. He had 60 rushing yards per game, which is a decent benchmark. And then caught 40 of his 45 targets, but only had 333 receiving yards, and he's never had more than 370 receiving yards in a season. Plus the addition of Rico Dowdle, who we'll talk about next, I don't really see those receiving numbers going up. I see them kind of staying where they are. I really feel like he's going to end up in the, like, 800 to 900 yards rushing, 400 yards receiving, like, 7 total touchdowns range, which is, he will bring you value from RB27, but is he going to be like a league winner? I don't think so. I just don't think there's enough opportunity there for him. I think probably his backfield mate is the more likely guy to be a league winner just because of his upside. But I would say Warren is probably going to be the more consistent guy because I expect he will catch a few more passes and because he has an established rapport with Rodgers already.
That is actually how I feel about the backfield as well. I have Rico one spot ahead. They're 27 and 28 for me. Because I think they start the year trying to figure out where, like, there's going to be some growing pains, figure out where they both fit. Cause from like a talent perspective, I think they're very similar talent levels. Just the way it's distributed is different. I think that Warren is our, worst case scenario, absolute worst case scenario. He's our new pass catching specialist king. Like, that's his worst case scenario. I feel like,
as long as he stays healthy, which he does, I don't really see his floor being any lower than like RB32.
Exactly.
But the problem is that his ceiling is like RB19.
Yeah, he has a much tighter range of outcomes than Dowdle, which I don't want to step on anything you're going to say about Dowdle, but we saw it last year. Like, he absolutely crushed was the Cowboys, because it was his prior team, and then
And then the next week he did it again.
Yeah, and then they like put him on the bench because they were like, oh, we, you know, Chuba Hubbard's my best friend. And then he just kind of wasn't there for the rest of the year. So it could be a situation where he kind of needs that RB1 role, and nothing could, it could develop from that. He needs that role and nothing happens. But at the same time, he signed with this team with Tyler Warren on there. So there had to have been some sort of like conversation about it. Like, this isn't a Tyler Allgeier cuck chair situation where they signed him and they're like, oops, here's our actual plans. Like, there has to be some sort of promise made to him about his usage. And I feel like, given how he was motivated by spite against the Cowboys last year, I feel like he's the type of guy that wouldn't go somewhere to be the 1B. But at the same time, he could finish as running back 13 or 43.
Yes, he has a wider range for sure.
I had a Warren just because shooting for that upside.
Fair enough. I have Warren at 24 and Dowdle at 27.
Mm-hmm.
But to move on to Dowdle, and then I'll do this or that for both of them. Mm-hmm. Because while Dowdle's going lower, I think we can kind of we can figure it out. This is ripped straight from my most recent article that was published today on OptimusFantasy.com. Five undervalued players in new situations. I did write up Dowdle as one of them, and this is what I wrote. The Steelers will be Dowdle's third team in 3 seasons. In most cases, this would constitute a red flag, but Dowdle put up remarkably similar numbers in both Dallas and Carolina the past 2 years. Let's take a look. 2024 with Dallas, 235 carries, 1,079 yards, 2 touchdowns. 2025 with Carolina, 236 carries, 1,076 yards, 6 touchdowns. 2024 with Dallas, 49 targets, 39 catches, 249 yards, and 3 touchdowns. 2025 with Carolina, 50 targets, 39 catches, 297 yards, 1 touchdown. My man, it doesn't matter where he is, he's the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I fully expect him to be the leading rusher on the team. I fully expect him to have a reasonable amount of targets. And I don't see why he won't beat RB32 ADP.
I think it's just the fantasy community absolutely loves Jalen Warren and will give him more benefit of the doubt than basically any other player in his backfield. And I really feel like this is a case of people going, well, I've really liked Jalen Warren on this team for a while. I wasn't really in on Rico Dowdle last year. I'm just going to continue with my priors, not reevaluating, you know, what the team context is going to be for these two players and what the opportunity context is likely to shake out at. So I think it's funny that we both have Rico Dowdle as running back 27, but I have him behind Jalen Warren and you have him ahead of, I have him ahead of Jalen Warren. You have him behind. So it's just like, RB27 is the Rico Dowdle spot.
We're going to do a little bit different here with the running backs. I want you to rank the 4 running backs on the Patriots and Steelers.
I am going to. I think I'm going to go Travion, Dowdle, Travion, Dowdle, Warren, wrong Jalen, Travion, Dowdle, Warren, and Ramondre. But they're all extremely close. They're all like the same tier.
Yes, I would agree. And then let's see, Jalen Warren or Brian Thomas Jr.
Warren.
Jalen Warren or Tucker Kraft?
Tucker Kraft.
Jalen Warren or Jalen Hurts?
Well, I'm not pulling from that Jalen Hurts tier. I would probably in a vacuum go with Jalen Hurts.
Right. Rico Dowdle or Harold Fannin?
Dowdle.
Rico Dowdle or Dak Prescott?
Dak.
And Rico Dowdle or Michael Wilson?
Michael Wilson, but I'm a sicko.
Fair enough. I think I would go largely against Dowdle in those picks, but that's just because I was picking good players. Other guys going around him are like, let's see, Kyle Pitts, Chris Godwin, Jackson Dart, Kyle Munningai. I mean, and I would take Dowdle over all those guys. So,
yeah, like Kyle Monningai's upside is Rico Dowdle.
Exactly. Kyle Monningai could be anything. He could even be a guy who gets 1,000 yards and 50 catch or in 50 targets.
Yeah, and that's with a extended DeAndre Swift injury.
Exactly. So that's the running backs. I would say Warren is a dead zone running back who will return slightly above dead zone running back numbers. And Dowdle is a dead zone running back who will either return dead zone running back numbers or way better than that. Mm-hmm. And so I think they're both worth a click depending on your team construction. But yeah, I think Dowdle is the better value.
If you invited risk, I'm going to go Warren. If you went rock solid, I'm going to go Dowdle.
Yep, I agree.
Like, I have a build right now that I'm going through in DraftKings that it's a hero RB, and I have Derrick Henry, and then I have Dowdle, Gainwell, and Rashad White.
I don't like Rashad White so much, but the other two I love grabbing.
So here's the thing with Rashad White. It's full PPR, and also I've been taking a sickening amount of JCM, and I need to diversify just in case I'm wrong.
Real. I'm with it now.
Yeah, so that's the thought behind the Rashad White of it all. And also, he's my RB4, so it's like, if he's bad, I can just hack DraftKings and cut him.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. All right, so what's coming up right now? This is the part of the team that I cannot figure out. So I'm gonna be stealing a lot of thoughts from you and making them my own about the wide receivers in Pittsburgh, because I'm not sure what to do with them.
All right, I'm going to get the two easy ones, in my opinion, out of the way. The easiest one is Jeremy Bernard, because he's not getting drafted, and he's a rookie in an Aaron Rodgers offense. No. I like Jeremy Bernard as a player. No. Do not draft him.
But what about in best ball? What about in best ball?
I would still probably rather take somebody else.
Fine.
Moving on to Michael Pittman. He's going wide receiver 41. That's pretty much correct. He doesn't really have the ceiling in this offense to finish far inside the top 36, but he's too good of a player to be going outside of the top 45. So I think back into the top 100 picks overall in the wide receiver 40 range, entirely fair for a guy who had a drop-off last season, but a lot of it was injury-related. He's never been fast, but he does get open quickly, which is something that Rodgers likes. I think he will get a fair amount of underneath targets, but I don't see a super productive season coming from him. I feel like you're going to get something like 75 catches for 800 yards and 3 touchdowns.
So, wide receiver 40, basically.
Yeah. Yep, and that's where he's going. So I think he is an okay pick. I would rather take somebody with more upside in that range. For example, Mekhi Lemon, Michael Wilson, and Quentin Johnston are the three closest. Oh, and Ricky Pearsall are the four closest wide receivers to him. I would take all of those guys over him.
Same. Like
Except,
easy.
well,
Not
actually,
even
no,
a
I would.
second thought.
Actually, I would probably take Pittman over Johnston just because of the volatility, but if you were looking for upside, then I would take Johnston. So the hardest one to figure out is probably DK Metcalf, I would say. I was pretty shocked by this ADP, wide receiver 33 right now. Pick 71 overall. Not to say I'm a huge DK fan, because I'm not. I don't think he is anything close to an elite receiver, but he is a very athletic big body who makes plays that other people just can't make. And his stats last season weren't all that far off from his career averages. His catch rate was right around normal. His success rate was above his career average. His yards per catch was exactly on point with his career average. He just didn't quite get as many targets. And part of that was a suspension midseason. Part of that was it was his first year with Rodgers. He's had a whole year with Rodgers now. He's not the type of guy who has a body that's going to break down. He's the most games he's ever missed in a season is two. And he's caught at least five touchdowns and had at least 850 receiving yards in every season of his career. This is too consistent of a player, in my opinion, to be going near the dregs of the top 36 receivers. While the Steelers' offense isn't going to be particularly good this season, I do expect Metcalf to still be the leading target in the passing game. And therefore, I think his back end of the sixth round wide receiver 33 price is too low. Now, do I think he's a smash play? No. I think there are other guys in this region that I would still probably prefer. But I think he's one of the better clicks you can make at receiver if you're picking receivers in the sixth or seventh round. I would take Metcalf over, Jordan Tyson, who's going near him. I would take him over Courtland Sutton, who's going near him. I would take him over Marvin Harrison Jr., who's going ahead of him. I would take him over Carnell Tate and Christian Watson, who are both going ahead of him. I just, the guys who are in that range are mostly unproven, except for Metcalf. So if you're looking for, say you're a wide receiver heavy drafter and you're in the seventh round, you're like, man, I really got to get my wide receiver four so I feel super comfortable. Just take DK Metcalf because he is almost assuredly going to produce something. Whereas a lot of these other guys, Marvin Harrison, BTJ Killer, Jordan Tyson, you don't know if any of these guys are going to produce this year. They could be complete duds. Metcalf is almost assuredly going to give you something. And in the middle of your draft, I think that's valuable.
So I'm pretty much on market with DK Metcalf. Like I agree with some of those guys that you said where I'm like, yeah, I'm not interested in like Marvin Harrison. I'm not interested in Carnell Tate. I have Carnell Tate ranked higher just because if he hits, he's gonna hit a lot harder. Because my concern with DK Metcalf is Aaron Rodgers' time to throw. Aaron Rodgers' primary concern is getting the ball out as quickly as humanly possible. Because we all talk about like Tua's time to throw, Tua's time to throw, Tua's time to throw. And Tua's time to throw was higher than Aaron Rodgers. Because Aaron Rodgers' primary concern is not getting hit. So
And not throwing picks.
I'm worried that, the traditional DK Metcalf profile is downfield guy, right? So that's my concern with DK Metcalf. And I'm curious why those two things don't like they don't seem to bother you as much as they bother me. And like maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're like, Jeff, you need to calm down, go take an anti-anxiety pill, see what's going on here, bud. But I'm like I don't want to say out, like I said, I'm on market with DK Metcalf, but you seem to think that the market is wrong. So I'm just curious how, like, what your thoughts are on the Aaron Rodgers time to throw versus the DK
I mean,
Metcalf, like, skill set.
Well, that's certainly a concern, but Metcalf had the lowest targets of his career and the lowest yardage of his career last season. Also, the second lowest touchdown count of his career and second lowest catch total of his career. He was still wide receiver 26 in both PPR and half PPR. At 59 catches for 850 yards and 6 touchdowns.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is my concerns have already come to fruition and they're already baked into the price.
Right. I think I think people are kind of double counting here. They're like, well, I'm tired of DK Metcalf and he wasn't very good last year, so he's just going to fall off a cliff. I don't think the addition of Michael Pittman really affects him. I think his role is going to stay the same. The offense is just going to get more efficient in the middle of the field because Rodgers isn't throwing to Darnell Washington and Roman Wilson over the middle anymore. He's throwing to a real NFL player. Not that Darnell Washington is not a real NFL player, but he runs like super slow because he's 300 pounds.
Because he's a small offensive lineman, let's be clear.
Right, because he's a half tackle.
Yeah, a hackle.
That's how we do it. I feel like Metcalf is still a good player. He's not elite, but he's a good player. Mm-hmm. He has been largely pretty consistent during his career. And I don't see him tanking much lower than 59 for 850 and 6, which, like I said, was a top 30 receiver last year in all formats. So it just seems like too low of an ADP. I have him, running back. Almost did a Jeff. Wide receiver.
That's a Jeff.
Did a Jeff. Wide receiver 27 and pick 58 overall. So about a round higher than he's going. Say DK Metcalf or Alec Pierce.
Oh, they're back to back for me. Oh, and they're back to back in 4-for-4. DK Metcalf.
DK Metcalf or Parker Washington.
DK Metcalf.
Metcalf or Rome Odunze?
Rome.
I would go Metcalf. Metcalf or DJ Moore?
DJ Moore.
I would agree on that one. Let's see. Metcalf or Caleb Williams?
Caleb.
Metcalf or Chuba Hubbard?
Oh, Metcalf.
They're going back to back.
Ew.
And let's see. Metcalf or either Tyler Warren or Tucker Kraft, whichever one you prefer.
Tucker Kraft.
I would also go with the tight end there. But I went into the process not expecting to be in on DK at all. And I came out like, wow, everybody's unnecessarily low on DK. Very weird.
I am going to rethink my DK position because I think you're right. I think I was double counting. It's one of those things that I usually catch myself if I'm double counting, and I think I missed it on DK. So I think I'm going to be rethinking my DK Metcalf. So special emergency episode of the podcast next week. We're going to get everybody in here and you get Waleed and Evan in here. And it's just going to be me talking about my DK Metcalf stance. Sound good?
No.
Okay. What about Pat Freiermuth?
I was just going to mention Freiermuth going tight end 25, but his consensus pick is 193. He's going behind multiple Dallas Cowboys backups.
What?
Ryan Flannoy and Jaden Blue both going right ahead of him. So, I'm good on Pat Freiermuth considering that there's another tight end on this team that they also use, and neither of them are focal points in the offense. So, he's a good player who is stuck in a situation that there's just no way there's going to be any consistency.
Oh, absolutely not. I feel about Pat Freiermuth the same way I feel about Greg Dulcich. His upside is middle to back end of the blob.
Right. It's like, oh, if everything goes right, Pat Freiermuth could be tight end 16 this year. Whoop-de-doo. Yeah. I don't want that.
Yeah, no, I don't particularly care. And they gave Darnell Washington $30 million to catch a handful of passes, which will just take away from Pat Freiermuth.
Yep, and block his ass off.
That's right. He's going to block Pat Freiermuth's ass off. No?
Sure.
I can never tell if Walker is laughing so hard that it's complete silence or if I'm getting the silent treatment.
I was chuckling on that one.
Oh, sensible chuckle. I love it. All right. That'll do it for this week's episode of the Football Obscurity Podcast. We will be back in two weeks with Mike. He'll be back and we'll be talking about something.
That's right.
We will talk. Sorry. My blue sky was running and it was a Zoran Mamdani video autoplayed and just said, while I was trying to do the outro, Benjamin Netanyahu is a war criminal. I'm like, calm down, Zoran. We're talking about football.
It's just replacing that, like whiting that out and being like, Aaron Rodgers is a war criminal.
Aaron Rodgers did 9/11. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bush did 9/11, to be clear.
Jeb Bush did 9/11.
Jeb.
Please clap.